Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively through the bye week now. No longer can talk about October and my back ailments and my birthday and all of that stuff. Playoff time now. It's time for pumpkin spice. It's time for eggnog. It's time for holiday treats. Not holiday music yet. Don't start that until I get through my turkey and my Thanksgiving. This guy was hanging out over the weekend, no doubt red zoning. I was sort of stuck on that Cleveland-Pittsburgh game a little bit at the 1 o'clock game. Dennis Colatsis joins us now. He's in and around, ever-present here at WNST and always here on Thursday from 3 until 5 doing the D. Colatsis Show. You can find him out on Twitter and, of course, on Sunday mornings getting ready for sort of a regular 1 o'clock game. Boy, the Vikings stunk on Sunday night. Dave, we better not lose to them this week, huh?
Hey, Cooper Rush, what a great name for a quarterback. And when they lose to that kind of a person who hasn't played ball in a long time, then it gives the Ravens hopes. But again, it's a week-to-week league, as John Harbaugh said. We saw the New York football Jets take down the mighty Bengals. So,
and guy did it in Flacco's uniform, too.
My gosh, Mike White. I had to look up to see who Mike White was, full disclosure.
I thought it was Flacco. I told Luke, I literally started to tweet about, hey, Joe looks good. And it was like the third play on Red Zone because I had been watching the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game. I was just dedicated to that game, right? So I sort of Bengals out of sight, out of mind. I kind of thought Flacco might have been playing, but in my mind, intellectually, I'm like, he just got there. How could he be playing? He's a new coach, different system, the whole deal. And I thought, And then I saw five make three plays. And I said to my wife, I'm like, I thought Flacco was wearing 19. You know what I mean? Is that five? I swear, Dennis, he made three plays. And I heard the cadence because it was that quiet in New York, as you can imagine. And it even sounded like Joe. And then I saw the back of his jersey and I'm like, he even threw like Joe a little bit. Did you see that?
He did. He looked like prime time. He looked like playoff Joe Flacco, and I think the Bengals would attest to that. It was a great game, a high scoring and controversial there in the end. Mike Hilton had a tackle that they called helmet to helmet. I wasn't upset because it went against the Bengals, but it was one of those calls that I don't know that I agree with it.
Dennis, it was one of those calls that made me turn to my wife and say, they bet on this. You know, that's what I said.
A lot of truth to that. Yeah, a lot of truth to that. That was a tackle. I mean, how else was a guy supposed to get him down? I have no idea.
Well, I mean, and if I'm Zach Taylor on the sidelines, I'm like, what do you want me to teach him? What did he do wrong other than do exactly what we coached him to do? And the idiot running back stuck his head down. Dennis, they have to pick that flag up. If you're going to bet on these games, they have to get the call right.
Oh, right. It was a matter of what's the right thing to do. And they, as you mentioned, they should have picked up the flag. No question about it. They made a mistake. It wasn't egregious. He was just trying to make a tackle. He wasn't
cost him the game.
It did cost him the game. Absolutely. Potentially cost him the game anyway. But it was fun. It was fun to watch them lose and mope off the field, as it was to watch the Browns lose. And that was a great game. And
did you find yourself like cheering for the Steelers? Like I sort of dirty.
It was cheering dirty. For
when things were happening bad to the Browns, I felt really good about it until I saw Tomlin with his sunglasses looking happy.
Yeah, I like Tomlin. I think he's a hell of a coach. They're a hell of an organization.
I don't want him happy in this perspective.
Yeah, but they're not going away. They're like Jason or Freddy Krueger, one of those Halloween characters. You just can't kill them. You can't count them out. You can't. They play great defense.
I once had a sales guy that one of the sponsors, a guy like you, said to me that my sales guy was like a wet boogie. He wouldn't go away.
Well, that's the Steelers. They won't go away. They're going to be in the mix, right? For all the flash and dash that the Bengals present, they're right there in the mix.
I would say they're like cockroaches and rats. They were there at the beginning of time, and they'll be gone, you know? Yeah. And then there's like the Browns and the Bengals. And, you know, Luke tweeted it out and you know, right on cue, the Browns are going to brown, the Bengals are going to bungle, right? And they did all within that 15-minute window there, the witching hour, as Scott Hansen would say on the Red Zone. And there's something about the DNA of the uniforms that it's November tracks. And they're just, you know, leaves change and that's the end.
I think it's the organization. When you look at the ownership, it's tough to overcome bad ownership. These teams will flash once in a while just because of the collection of number one draft picks, the high draft picks. I mean, the Bengals have picked, what, first overall, fifth, and 11th the last 3 years? When you accumulate that kind of talent, you can't help but flash, right? You're going to be good at some point. You're just not going to stay there. And Marvin Lewis did miracles in Cincinnati for all those years with his hands behind – tied behind his back and his feet in concrete. He was a hell of a coach. And it's amazing he never got another chance in the NFL, which is another story for another day. But they're just bad organizations, Nestor. So that's why teams like the Ravens and the Steelers will always be there. They will always be relevant and pertinent. They're not going to flash. They're going to stay there.
Well, you'd ask why Marvin Lewis may not get another chance. And, you know, I'm going to open that Pandora's box with you because you and I had a spirited debate that ran over the weekend. You can find it at Baltimore Positive as well on your show. Into the bye week. And in regard to ownership, It is fascinating. You would kick the Browns and the Bengals ownership. And yet over the weekend, I watched a lot of football and I kept seeing them showing the owners and the families and what good people they are. And the Haslam family's done things in the community and the upper community of upper Cleveland and Northern Ohio. And and they're kibitzing on the field now. And Dan Rooney's, and they're talking on the field, and they're kind of talking, and I'm thinking, they're thinking, yeah, Stan Kroenke, he's suing you too, huh? Really? Oh, yeah, yeah. So I see them down there talking, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, they're now on an image cleanup for what other good guys the owners have. You know, this one Ford dealership's no good, but we have these other nice families involved in our thing. Look, Congress is involved now, right? And this is a whole different level of scrutiny that the Coons family wouldn't want, the Ford Motor Company wouldn't want. Nobody, no business would want Congress coming in saying those 650,000 emails. And what really happened behind closed doors was someone on the Washington football team side of the league side put a hit out on Mark Davis and John Gruden. And said, we're going to screw with, he's making too much money. He got too good a deal. Might have been Sheldon Adelsberger, who's the one that really got bent over out there and all this, as well as the Nevada taxpayers, mm-hmm. I might add. But that they would be wrecked in week 4 in an investigation that was about the Washington football team. And this isn't going away. And I noticed how they pivoted to what nice people the other owners were and broadcast all weekend long. It's gross. It's weird what they're doing.
Look at Roger Goodell in this, Nestor. I saw an article where he's made $128 million the last 2 years. I thought he was making $42 million a year, but I didn't know about bonuses, right? So he negotiates all these big TV contracts now, and he gets bonuses, and they're paying this guy. They pay this guy $128 million in 2 years? I mean, that's insane.
Well, to give you perspective, he's making $64 million a year being the commissioner, and Lamar's trying to get a deal to be the highest paid player in the league, and we'll get, what, 46, 48, you know, somewhere in there like that, right? So that's the highest paid player in the league. Tom Brady's getting whatever he's getting, $40 million, whatever that number is, right? And Roger Goodell's making $64 million a year and has no tread on his tire and has been making $20 million a year for 10 years, $40 million a year for 6 years, right? Literally.
Yes, yes. I'm happy with any
Roger
of those
Goodell's
numbers for the
record. $700 million.
Man, that is insane. Follow the money. And just to be the, you know, the spokesperson, the face, the voice of the owners. And it's been an exclusive club. The best club, arguably one of the best clubs in the world, for sure, in the conversation.
And now they're going to fight with each other over the St. Louis money and over the L.A. money. We're going to go out to the L.A. Super Bowl. By the way, Dennis, I had an interesting weekend. Dennis Galatos is here. Of course, at Coons Ford, Coons Baltimore. You can find them over at Security Boulevard. You can find them on our tech service. I had a little time. It was bye weekend. I've done some new things at the station, new sound. I'm going to have some new Coons Ford commercials, right?
So yep, absolutely.
So doing some things and getting ready for next year. And I canceled my Miami trip. I'm not going next week. My back, Thursday night football. Just, I don't feel like I can lay on the beach. I have work to do. I was on my butt most of October. I got Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be out this week with the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let Yourself Play. We're going to be at Silver Spring Mining in White Marsh Thursday. Nice. Friday, we're going to be at the Chop Tank with Alex Smith and our friends down at the Atlas. We're going to be in Fells Point. And then next week, we're at Fadley's on Wednesday. Dennis, you come get a crab cake Wednesday morning. We're going to be there.
Hey, you know what? Silver Spring, White Marsh. That's where my mom and I go every Thursday.
Silver Spring Mining?
Absolutely. In White Marsh.
Every Thursday?
Every Thursday.
I'm going to be there this Thursday. What time are you going to be there?
Whatever time you are.
I'm there at 2 to 5.
Oh, gotcha. We'll stop by. We're there.
See, this is
small
great.
World. Small See, world. Not to interrupt you, but
I'm glad I promoted it for you to be there. All right. Well, Dennis will be there. Look at
and
this.
Then we go to the Weiss Market because she lives at Brightview Assisted Living. Then we go to the Weiss Market and we grocery shop together. That is our Thursday. That's what we do every Thursday. That's our date with mom.
I want to eat what she's cooking. I want to eat what you're buying. Is what I want to do. So next Wednesday, we're at Fadley's. And then next Friday, finally back at Nick's up at the Grandstand Grill in Timonium. So I'm getting – so Dan, here's the thing. I'm getting around. I'm getting back out to doing the Crab Cake Tour, and I just feel better. You know, I mean, my back hurt. It was just – you and I were doing radio every week. It was just – it hurt to get out of bed and doing the bare minimum to get through the day because I didn't have any creativity because I just didn't have no energy. And so I'm feeling better. And I started thinking, all right, I'm not going to Miami. I'm going to go to Chicago. I mean, but I changed my trip. I was going to go in on Friday. And you know, Dan, I worked in Chicago for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was syndicated at the turn of the century. So a lot of special people in my life 20 years later that are there. We've lost Chet Kopic since the last time I was there. There's a great pizza place I love called Pequod's. It's its own place in the north side. And I go there and it's caramelized. It's not deep dish. It's different. So, but anyway, it's more Chicago, but Chicago. All right. And then I looked at Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and I'm going to go to Pittsburgh for the game. The Cleveland game's a little weird because my wife's gone. I got to take care of my cat. I think I'm going, but I got to figure it out. And that's like, you go to Cleveland, you got to go Saturday, come back Monday. There's no way to get in and out. Mm-hmm. It's you're there 2 days and it's cold and it's Cleveland and it's expensive. It's terrible. So I start looking at the Super Bowl. Dan, I've been doing Super Bowl since 1992, since the Minnesota Super Bowl. I missed the Rose Bowl. Then I did everyone after that. Atlanta. I just go through the whole list. New Orleans, all the way through. And then I missed last year. And now this year, I booked a flight a couple months ago for Los Angeles, right? Never been to a Super Bowl in Los Angeles. I'm like, all right, convention center, Staples Center, getting a room, $600 a night. What? So this weekend I went on and I found a palatable rate. You know what I mean? I found a, you know, some $285, something I can live with for 4 nights. I got to do because we're going to do it and we're going to walk. So I booked the room and I'm like, good. And you got to get out by Thursday and then you get the league rooms and they're $400 a night if you can get them and that, that, that. I'm getting my own room and I'm like, I'm going to get a room in Orange County, right? So I got Orange County. Like, I'll take Luke down there. We'll get some Sancho's tacos, get some chubby sauce. It'll be delicious. Then I started thinking, like, Ravens could be in a Super Bowl. Like, it didn't occur to me that, like, until I started booking rooms and where I was going to be and who's going to be there and am I going to see my cousin from San Diego and I got some friends out there and would I have a free crash pad with my boy David Katz? Would he put me up? But he moved to Miami. So, like, I'm just thinking, all right, what am I going to be doing if the Chiefs are in it or the Raiders or whatever? But, like, I don't know, man. We might be in it. I, you know what I mean? Like, I watched football all weekend, and this is what really hit me after looking at it. There's no great teams, man. Like, at all. Buffalo, or whatever. You know, we could be in the Super Bowl. So when I started making these plans, COVID, is Luke going? Are we not? Can we shake hands? Can we be in a room? Will there be a radio row? What the plague looks like? And then I thought, oh, we might be in the game.
Well, we got news before we got on the air that Derrick Henry may be out for the season, getting surgery. So that really pulls the Titans back to the pack. There aren't any dominant teams in the AFC. In the NFC, you can make a case for the Packers and maybe the Cardinals, but other than that, the AFC is wide open, and the Ravens have just as good a chance as anyone else. From what we saw this weekend, the Bengals losing and the Browns losing and the Steelers rising, the AFC has never been. I can't recall the last time the AFC was this wide open.
Well, there's no Patriots. No Patriots. There's no Chiefs. Roethlisberger. And the Chiefs. Yeah, and there's the Chiefs. No Ray Lewis, Flacco, Suggs.
No.
There's no dominant. Listen, the Chiefs will do what they're going to do, and it's fine. And you have to go beat them, and I'll hear that. But these next couple weeks, right, Minnesota stinks. Miami on short rest, and you're going to be there with the family, so they will take care of business there on my behalf. Chicago, they should be 8-2. And if they're 8-2, they're really good. And if they're not, the tackling against the Bengals, if we're going to take it down to X's and O's as we usually do, I mean, they're not as good as we want them to be. But I watch the rest of these teams, and I think to myself, they could be in Los Angeles for the Super Bowl.
Well, they could. And I think they learned a lesson in the game against the Bengals. I hope they did. Perhaps you throw a zone at them versus putting the corners out on the island, and you make Burrow go down the field 5-10 yards at a time versus 50, 60, 70, 80-yard chunks. So lots of time left. The Braves are getting 4, 5, 6 players back after the bye. Derek Wolfe, Nick Boyle, et cetera. So they should be better. And now the injury bug is starting to hit the rest of the league. The Ravens were severely bitten, but now we see it hit everybody else. And anything can happen, and they have to have a mindset of why not us? And they've got arguably the best player in the league right now in Lamar Jackson.
And then there's the amount of contact he took in the Bengals game, right? And how much he's going to have to be a part. He is the running game. I mean, and that's where it was 2 years ago. It didn't need to be, right? The further it went on, hey, Lamar, more Gus, more Ingram, more Gus, more Ingram, right? Whatever. I don't know where that Tyson Williams is. I mean, I said Le'Veon Bell looks like he's running in quicksand right now.
He does. I had high hopes for Le'Veon, and at least I like to see them throw the ball in his direction a couple of times, check downs, et cetera. But he does seem to lack burst. They have to figure out that running game. Maybe Nate McCrary, bring him up for the practice squad, make a trade before the Tuesday deadline at 4 p.m., bring somebody else in. Marlon Mack has been almost a no-brainer mock to the Ravens for a low draft pick. So if I'm Eric DaCosta, I'm definitely making that move.
I mean, they keep trying on different shoes, different jerseys, and all that. That is Colatos is here. He'll be here Thursday from 3 until 5. He'll be here Sunday as well. I got a very important question. It's nothing to do with football. It has everything to do with Koontz and me wearing the Oiler, or in this case, the Chargers blue that they didn't even wear the other day. They got more uniforms than I got socks. My wife's been seeing this little, like, mini Bronco, like a little SUV. You know what I'm talking about?
Called the Bronco Sport. Yeah, it's smaller
we
than
saw
one,
it
the,
literally
smaller
in
than
front
one
of our
road, but it's still a Bronco.
I've had to go on walks a lot because of my back, and just walking's better than standing. Like sometimes I'm moving around a little bit and I look fidgety and whatnot, but I'm getting better, but I can't sit. I can lay and my stomach's what my PT is, but I can stand, but then I get a little fatigue. But walking, I can do that all the time. So it's good. We've been walking and we've been seeing it driving around. It's really slick. And my wife keeps pointing to it. So, like, just give me the lowdown on it. Give me the range. Tell me whether you have one, what color you have. Like, seriously, because my wife's looking to, like, come over and visit you. I'm not serious.
Yeah, I mean, the range is $30,000 to $50,000, depending on how the amount of equipment you'd like to have on it. We have probably about 3 or 4 in stock with them. We have more than most. Most dealers don't have any, but we have a bunch coming in. It's a very, 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 very nice vehicle. Drives great.
High demand.
Drive, et cetera. High demand, yeah. Everything's in high demand, though, in all fairness, but it's also at the top of the list in terms of most desired vehicles in the U.S. right now.
Look, if you watch some of the news in the country, right, all these cars are sitting out by Huntington Beach. I'll go visit them in January or February at the Super Bowl with Lamar. And, you know, some store shelves, Christmas, all that stuff, right? And look, you took your mom to Wise Markets. I'm at Wise Markets, right? I don't see empty this or empty that. I have seen my wife say, I can't get those right now, or I can't get that or whatever, like shopping. And that's all well and good. But if I get in my car and I come over to Security Boulevard and I get off and I make that little right turn there and I come in and see you, I can get a car today, right? I'm not going to like really work you over for, you know, chipping every $25 off of it. I'm going to have to pay a price for it, but there's no gouging going on either, right? Cars don't cost more, right?
Now I have 120 vehicles in stock, new and 300 used. Now they're all bringing the premium because of the shortage. We're paying more for the vehicles to get them. Even at auction, we're paying a lot more. But we're not going to have an empty shelf. People need vehicles, so we're going to have, you know, what we normally carry. We're close to it.
So I can come out there and see a green car, blue car, silver car, sure, like all that. Okay.
A total of 400 vehicles, 450 vehicles in stock. So, but again, we have a lot more than most because we planned, and we have two full-time buyers. We have two managers. All they do is buy vehicles. Kelly Blue Book, private parties, auction. They're buying vehicles 24/7.
All I said to my wife was like, I'm like, yeah, I remember the blue thing you gave me this summer, the big thing, you know, like, with the, yeah, so I would get on the beach. I said, you know, I bet Dennis could get one, but if you want champagne, you may have to take it in wine. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you how popular that vehicle is, Nestor. We bought a first edition at auction, MS with like 1,000 miles on it, MSRP on it, $60,000. We paid $95. We paid a $35,000 premium just to have it, and we sold it in one day.
All right. Well,
but, I mean, it's the market. It's some of these things are bringing the moon, and but people want them.
I was worried when I brought the watermelon in that it didn't have dirt on it. You know, I was trying to keep the thing like.
Yeah, you don't have. I noticed crab.
Everybody wants to drive the Lamborghini, and then you drive, and you're afraid of crashing it, right? I mean, right, you don't want to. Right, there's right. A little bit of that going on. Right?
But I did see the crab meat go down at the Weiss Market. I was happy to see that.
Hey, by the way, Fadley's told me and Damie told me this, and I want to promote this, that they've dropped the price of their crab cake by $3 because the prices moved around.
It's
so
down,
you will start to see that and feel that a little bit. Crab cake tour and Dennis's mom, Silver Spring Mining on Thursday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be at the Chop Tank on Friday. Fadley's next Wednesday, the 10th. The 12th, we are at Nick's Grandstand Grill. And the 17th, you'll appreciate this, our mayor, Brandon Scott. We're going to be over at Coco's in Lauraville. So, Dennis, this is weird. I haven't had a crab cake in like since I only had one crab cake the whole month of October.
Wow.
It was my birthday month. One crab cake.
Time to make it up. Make up for lost
man,
time.
Man, I was on my back. I want you. What I'm jamming is the state fair as a chicken crab cream, like a chicken Chesapeake.
Very nice.
But it's really good. And state fair also. You and I are going to go to state fair. Evan and I have been after meatloaf for a while. He had it on the menu. Then he took it off. When he first opened a restaurant, he called it a TV dinner. Is what he called it. And it was meatloaf, mashed potato, you know, like peas, whatever. He's redone it now, and they do a twice-baked potato. There's nothing in the world better than a twice-baked potato, usually the wedding or the affair that comes after that. But
hey, in Essex, we used to call it a twice-baked potato.
Twice. I'm going to tell Evan.
Hot with the crab cake. Come on.
Oh, yeah, man. All right. Crab cake tour. Now you get me hungry, man. Dennis, how about this? And it wasn't you that was peeing on me, was it? Who told me? No, somebody was giving me a hard time. Was it Raskin? Somebody gave me a hard time about the crab cake tour and gaining weight and that I wouldn't lose it back.
It
was Moeller. It was Moeller. Moeller gave me, well, you're 53 now. You know, the weight's not going to come off the way it used to.
Okay.
You know, so I have been... You know, I couldn't move, right? I mean, now I'm finally moving. First time in a month, and I've been eating ice cream. Wise. I had the cherry vanilla. I had the candy cake ice cream. My wife brought some Ben and Jerry's in from Rofo as well. So I got the scale out. I'm at playing weight. Literally this weekend, after all I've been through, the backs, the injections, on my butt, on my back, dying, living, dragging my wife back from New Hampshire, no birthday, no crab cakes, no tour, nothing. I'm back to my August 1st weight, 148 pounds. Right. So there.
There you go. There
I'm
you
flabby
go.
See? As hell, though. I don't know. Oh, it's terrible.
You'll tone it up to it. Look, I'm down 50 pounds. So tell Moeller, you know, at 57, you can still lose weight if you just clean up your diet. And thanks to you, I also bought 24 ice cream cones. And I'll put my ice cream on the cone.
The little and cones.
And I lick the ice cream. Yes, absolutely.
And you're really and it's amazing. There. Here's the amazing part is I learned this with the Harka last year when you get the pints, yeah. Right? The little ones. Because Wise gives you the big guys, right?
I still get the Harka pints because of you too, by the way.
Well, the little Taharka pints, when you do the cones and the little cones, yep. Those pints will last 8 to 10 servings each across. So correct. I would do one peanut butter, one chocolate, or whatever, you know, one of this, one of that, right? That I would get 8 to 10 single scoops out of two, and I eat two scoops every night because I don't cheat myself. You know that.
Yep.
And I've done this for the last 8 years of my life.
It works. It absolutely
and it works.
Works
that I really satiate, and I don't do it every night, but 5 nights a week I have a cone, and I've had a cone 27 out of 31 nights in October, and I'm down awesome. To my playing weight. So I'll swear by it.
So I get my ice cream from Taharka and my cones from Weiss Market. So I take care of all of our sponsors. Everybody's
thank you.
Affiliated.
Well, Taharka's not sponsoring anymore, but they're local. Okay. So give them love. Give them love
anyway. I still deal with them. You know, they have fantastic
delicious.
Ice cream. Pumpkin cheesecake right now is in season. It's very, very good, by the way.
Don't run me over there. Don't do that to me. I like the pumpkin spice latte. Dennis Kalatzos is here. He didn't sell coffee or ice cream. He sells cars. He's over at Koontz, Baltimore Ford, Security Boulevard, also sponsoring our tech service. You can find it Thursday, 3 to 5, and other words of wisdom on Sunday morning prior to the game. Dennis, I know a lot of things. I don't think we're going to get the snow this time with the Vikings. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. But look, I like warm weather, so the snow can hold out for as long as it wants to.
Party in the city where the heat is on all night on the beach to the break at dawn. Dennis
come
is
on.
Going to Miami
ugh.
Next week. All right. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Luke and I have been arguing about ownership and Ravens and tackling and all that stuff. He is out in Owings Mills. He'll be brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. We're doing crab cakes. We're doing football. I'm back on the beat. I'm doubling up crab cakes, and I'm going to double up on turkey, and I'm going to drink a lot of eggnog. It's Baltimore Positive.